Heavenly Father, we just come before you once again to acknowledge you, Yah. We just thank you for all that you do. We thank you, Yah, that you are an awesome God, that you are mindful of us. We thank you, God, that you made your covenant with us as your people so long ago. And we just ask, Yah, that you help us to fulfill our end of the bargain. Deal with our hearts and minds, Yah. Help us to do our part so that we can fulfill that you requested of us so long ago. And we ask, Yah, that you help us on our journey in Yeshua's name. Amen. All right. So again, this will be part three of the Keep Thy Heart series that I started. And so what I want to do just to start us off, just to do kind of a recap. Like Rev always says, this is class, right? So we just want some participation from everybody. Maybe jog your mind a little bit. We slept a few times since the last time we had service, but can anybody give me what it means to keep your heart? Or just give me what you remember that to mean? Somebody? Anybody? Nothing? Well, I'll do a brief recap, right? So what we dealt with on the last time was understanding that, let me ask this question. What is the heart?
Your mind.
The mind.
Okay, good. And so if the heart is the mind, how do you keep the heart?
By keeping your mind.
What does that mean? How do you do that?
I was going to say remembering, but that's not actually it, I don't think.
Okay.
Word.
Say it again.
By saying like the word.
Okay, that's good. That is what we talked about, keeping the word before your eyes. Remember we talked about, you know, your eyes being your perception, and we dealt with spending time in the word is what helps us to adjust our way of seeing and thinking and lining that up with Yah, right? So in order to keep our heart, we got to spend that quality time in the word. We have to perceive what it is that the Lord is saying, what he has said, and what he is saying. And we have to dedicate those things to how we see things. And in so doing, that will allow us to keep our heart, right? Because we talked about there's all kinds of doctrines out there. You know, there's all kinds of people who have whatever reasons they have for putting out the understandings that they have, right? But we as a people, what sets us apart is our ability to hear from Yah, our ability to take hold of those things that Yah is saying or has said and adjust how we see things to how he sees things. And don't let anything else cause us to deviate from that, right? And if we do that, that will allow us to keep our heart, right? Whatever may come, well, the Lord said this. Well, have the Lord said this? Yeah, this is what the Lord said, because the enemy is going to come, right? So in order to keep our heart, we have to make sure we make the adjustment of our perspective to Yah's perspective and continue to keep Yah's perspective before our eyes and before our mind and dwell with that on a regular basis. Because if we don't, whatever else we're attending to will tend to take root in our heart, in our mind. And we'll reap a harvest on that. All right. So that's kind of a brief recap. So I want to deal with a few more things. So I'm going to be doing some reading on this part. It's kind of a little bit of reading, but it'll make sense as we go through. So I'll just start out. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 6. I also want to make a note that this subject matter is in the scripture two times. The Bible talks about it in two places. So it's talking about it here in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, but it also talks about it in 1 Kings chapter 8 as well. But I'm going to go with the version of 2 Chronicles chapter 6. And so just to get the context of what's going on here, this is during the reign of King Solomon. This is after David has died. Solomon is king. And Solomon was commissioned to build the temple of the Lord, the dwelling place where the Lord said he would put his name. All right, so I'll start out in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 1. It says, Then said Solomon, the Lord has said that he will dwell in the thick darkness, but I have built an house of habitation for thee, and a place for thy dwelling forever. And the king turned his face and blessed the whole congregation of Israel. So at this point, he had built the temple, and he was addressing all of Israel. And the congregation of Israel stood, and he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who hath with his hands fulfilled that which he spake with his mouth to my father David, saying, since the day that I have brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among all of the tribes of Israel to build a house in, that my name might be therein. Neither chose I any man to be ruler over my people. But I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there, and I have chosen David to be over my people. Now it was in the heart of David my father to build a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to David my father, For as much as it was in thine heart to build a house for my name, thou didst well in that it was in thine heart. Notwithstanding, though, thou shalt not build a house, but thy son, which shall come forth out of thy loins, shall build a house for my name. The Lord therefore hath performed his word that he has spoken, for I have risen up from the room of David my father and set a throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. In it have I put the ark, wherein the covenant of the Lord that he made with the children of Israel. And he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands. And Solomon made a brazen scaffold, 5 cubits long, 5 cubits broad, 3 cubits high. These are just distances of, he basically built a stand, and set it in the midst of the court. And upon it he stood and kneeled down up on his knees before all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands, and said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven nor in earth, which keepeth covenants and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all thine heart, with all their hearts. And so I want to stop and give pause to this this particular scripture, right? Because it's telling in a lot of things, and it kind of ties into what we've been dealing with too, right? So there is no God like thee in heaven or earth which keepeth covenants, right? So God is, he establishes covenants, and he keeps his covenants. He keeps his end of the covenant, and showeth mercy unto thy servants. Now, which servants? It says, and showeth mercy unto thy servants. Then it gives a qualifier, that walk before thee with all their hearts. So that means, that gives an indication that there's a possibility that there are servants out there that ain't walking before the Lord with all their hearts. And so in understanding what we've been dealing with in the lessons prior to this, those were vital in understanding what it takes to serve the Lord with all of our heart, right? Because we dealt with it some. We talked about understanding as we attend to the Word of God, it sows seeds in our heart, which is our mind. And as we tend to those seeds take root, and they produce trees, and those trees produce fruit, right? Understand, all of this is happening in our mind, right? So we talked about there being good seed, We talked about there being, you know, not good seed. Not good seed produces a corrupt tree, which produces a corrupt fruit, right? And so, as the believer, we talked about what sets us apart from the rest of the world is the Word of God itself. You know, we talked, you know, the scripture that talked about as we walk on the path that God sets before us, that He leads us on, we talked about it shining brighter and brighter until a perfect day is what the scripture said, right? So as we follow that path, as we plant those good seeds, as we spend time focusing in on His Word, on what He says to us, on His corrections to us, as we spend time on that, then we start to dig up those corrupt seeds. Those corrupt seeds can be pulled up. And as we continue to focus on the Word of God and what God has for us and what He's saying for us, that path leads us to a path where we walk before Yah with all of our heart, right? So, meaning we don't give occasion to all of these other things, right? So we are striving towards that perfection. I'll use an example. So the scripture says, Jesus said in the scripture, Satan cometh for me, but he findeth nothing in me. Right? That's what the scripture said. And so understand that the enemy, he's looking for any little avenue of something that has taken root in us to try to get that to resonate, to pull us away from Yah, right? So our responsibility in the kingdom is to be diligent. We talked about that too in the scripture, diligence. Guard our heart, keep our heart with all diligence. This is it's not a simple thing. It's not a trivial thing. It's something that we have to be mindful of each and every day. We have to guard our hearts. Make sure we pluck up any negative seeds. We don't let any negative seeds take root, because whatever those things, again, like the scripture said, keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, right? So whatever we're not diligent about and we allow something corrupt to take fruit, then whatever we allow to take root or what causes the issues of life, right? So we understand that there's a standard going on that for the believer, we have to be diligent. We can't be lax. We can't be, what's the scripture coming up? Where it says the children of darkness are wiser in their ways than the children of light. We as the children of light have to be more wiser than what we have been doing, especially for the days that's coming ahead. We have to guard our hearts with all diligence. That's something that each one of us has to be mindful of, because that's going to be necessary for the days ahead. So I'll come back to the scripture here where it says, I'll reread, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven, nor in earth, which keepeth covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart. Verse 15 says, Thou which hast kept with thy servant David, my father, that which thou promised him, right? So when God makes a declaration, he keeps what he said. And so for us, that's why it's important for us to be mindful of what he's saying, and to be mindful of what he's doing, and to be mindful of his correction, because whatever he's saying and doing, he's going to keep his word. He's going to do what he said. He's going to perform it. So it's on us to be mindful of what he said. It's on us to be mindful of what he said. Okay, so. All right, let's take a look real quick. When it says that walk before thee with all thy heart. So the word walk means I want to say, it says to be conversant. Conversant means to talk to, but it also says continually, right? So what you got to understand, that walk is What else do I want to pull out of this? Says to travel. Follow. I like follow in this instance. So when it says that walk before thee with all their hearts, right? So that implies that there is a process that's taking place in this journey, right? Like it's not a happenstance. It's not a what's the word? It's not a nonchalant kind of deal. Like that walk before thee. This is something that you do with reverence, with a forethought. It's not something that.
Can I say something?
Sure, sure.
Yeah, that when it says walk, it deals with a behavior.
Okay.
And so it you know, to walk before him is like you said, to be conversant, but it's an exercise oneself. It's like a behavior. So. When he says, when you walk before, you know, servants that walk before him with all their hearts, it is someone who is, their behavior is how they carry themselves.
Okay.
So if someone said, how do you walk before Yah? Well, do you behave in line with what he said?
Right.
Is behavior along the lines of what he said? That is walking before Yah, you know, just in a simple form.
Okay. So in a sense, it's kind of like some of what we talked about before, that walking before him is in a sense, taking what he says and applying it to your life and living thereby, right? Like, so if he says, thou shalt not steal, then we apply that to our life and we live by that as our standard. So living by that as our standard and making that adjustment is in a sense, walking upright before him, right?
Yeah, that's our behavior from that point on.
Okay.
Once we come to the knowledge of what he said, then we walk in what he said. In other words, our behavior adjusts, and our mindset is set on what Yah has said. So it is a behavior that we adjust to, as you say. Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
All right, so to go back and reframe this thing, let's put all of that into context. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven nor on earth that keepeth the commandments and showeth mercy unto thy servants, that hear what you say and make the adjustments to live the lifestyle according to what you say with all their hearts. So we'll have that with a clearer understanding, right? So it's a person that not only hears what the Lord says, but makes the adjustments such that they live by and walk by what they know and understand. And they do that with all their heart, not with some of it, not in this circumstance, but with all of their heart. Like they make all effort to do that. Verse 15 says, thou which hast kept thy servant David, my father, which thou hast promised him, and spake it with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it in thine hand as it is this day. Now therefore, O Lord God of Israel, keep thy servant David my father, that which thou promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit upon the throne of Israel, yet so that thy children take heed take heed to their way to walk in my law, right? So that just kind of lines up with what we just said. To walk in his law is to observe the law, to keep the law before our eyes and to make the adjustments of how we live according to what his law says, or how we live according to what his word says, as thou hast walked before me. So it's like, okay, David led this example. Now we ought to do the same things. Now then, this is Solomon's prayer. Now then, O Lord God of Israel, let thy word be verified, which thou hast spoken unto thy servant David. But will God in very deed dwell with men on earth? Behold, heaven and the heavens of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house which I have built, right? So he's saying the whole heavens can't contain Yah, even less the house that he has built. Verse 19 says, have respect, therefore, to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto my cry and the prayer which thy servant prayed before thee, that thine eyes may be upon this house day and night. So he's praying that the Lord's eyes be upon the temple day and night, upon the place whereof thou hast said thou wouldest put thy name there, to hearken unto the prayer which thy servant prays toward this place. Hearken therefore unto the supplication of thy servant and thy people Israel, which they shall make towards this place. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, even unto heaven, and when thou hearest, forgive. Now, it, in your spare time, you can read through these other parts. Because, you know, they are relevant, but they don't deal with what I want to deal with right now. What I want to deal with, it's really talking about situations of what can happen to Israel when they get off. But what I want to skip ahead to is verse 36. Now, this is still the prayer of Solomon concerning the temple. Verse 36 says, if they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captive unto a land afar off or near, yet if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, we have dealt wickedly, if they return to thee with all their heart, right? So we see a theme here, right? There is a significance of this all their heart thing, right? It's almost like it's a pre-qualifier for some of the things that Yah want to do. We can't be halfway in and halfway out. We can't have one foot over there and one foot over here. No, we have to be all the way in. We have to be in order for these things to take place, we have to do it with all of our heart. That's the pre-qualifier. We have to, like what we talked about, we have to walk before the Lord with all of our heart. Verse 38, if they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whither they have been carried, whether they have carried them captives, and pray towards the land which thou gavest unto their fathers, and towards the city which thou hast chosen, and towards the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Now, my God, let I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thy ears be attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now, therefore, arise, O Lord God, into thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let the priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let thy saints rejoice in goodness, O Lord God, and turn not away the face of thine anointed. remember the mercies of David thy servant. All right. So this was the prayer that Solomon prayed when he was dedicating the temple, right? So he talked about a lot of things, but we see there's a state that happens, right? So there's things that go on that will cause us, well, I'll just keep going. I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but let me keep going. It says, this is 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1. It says, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, it says, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house, right? So Solomon was making a sacrifice before the Lord. When he had finished praying, it says that fire came down from heaven and burned the sacrifice, and the Spirit of the Lord filled the temple. So much so, verse 2, it says, and the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. All right, so just want to record those events. Now, I just want to skip ahead to, let's see. All right, let me jump ahead. Okay. Verse 12, right? So this is after all of these things has happened. Solomon has prayed his prayer. He dedicated the building. The Lord sent fire down and consumed the sacrifice. Verse 12 says, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer. So this is what we just read earlier. The Lord is saying, I heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. It says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, so this is one of our daily confessions, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. So there's something I want to deal with too, right? So in this whole process of what we've been dealing with, the serving the Lord with all our heart, walking before the Lord with all our heart, in order to do that, the first step that we have to do is humble ourselves. We can't be lifted up in pride. We can't be lifted up in our own hearts and walk before the Lord with all our heart, right? So if we are puffed up in our own minds, then the things that we do, we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, right? We think we know best, right? When we're puffed up in our own minds, we esteem how we feel about things higher than what Yah is saying about those things, right? So the first step is, in order to receive the instruction of the Lord, in order to perceive the understanding of the Lord so that we can make adjustments to how he sees things, the first thing we have to do is humble ourselves. We can't think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. We have to be humble. So it says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. So in order to pray to Yah for understanding and wisdom and all those things, we have to come to him in humility and seek my face, right? So these are all key terms. Because unfortunately, what a lot of people do in the world is they seek the Lord's hand. The difference between seeking the Lord's hand and seeking the Lord's face, to seek the Lord's hand is to seek what he can do for me. I'm not concerned about a relationship with you, Yah. I'm just seeking you for what you can do for me. Well, when we seek his face, we're not worried about what he can do for us. We're worried about getting in his presence, spending time with him, seeing how he sees, thinking how he thinks. And when we, it's what the scripture says, when we acknowledge him in all our ways, then he'll direct our paths. Seek the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of Yah and his righteousness, And then all these other things will be added unto you, right? So if I seek the Lord's face and I'm seeking a relationship with you and I'm making that my priority, those other things will manifest themselves. I don't have to worry about those things. But unfortunately, what we are being taught in this culture is we treat y'all like Santa Claus or like Pastor say, Puff the Dragon. We only come to him when we want something from him. We ain't keeping him before our eyes all the time. We ain't keeping his word before us all the time. Something happened bad in our life, and now we go to the Lord, and, Lord, can you fix it? Oh, Lord, I need this. And I'm not saying don't pray to the Lord, but what I am saying is we have to position ourselves to be always seeking his face and not just seeking his hand. When we're seeking his face, and we're doing that on a consistent basis, and we're establishing that relationship with Yah, then storms can come and storms can go. But we have established that relationship with Yah. We know that he's with us in spite of the storm coming and in spite of the storm going, because that relationship is being established, right? We ain't just coming to him when we need something. We're coming to him consistently all the time, and we're walking before him, adjusting our lives to his statutes. Then we don't let the whims of the world or the whims of the storms cause us to get off focus. So, okay, go ahead.
I want to explain what you mean when you say seek his face.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that I explain it is, I want you to go to Acts 13 and start at verse 21.
Okay. You said Acts 15?
13.
13, okay. And you said 21?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, what verse 21 says, it says, and afterwards, they, as in Israel, king, and Yah gave unto them Saul, the son of Sis, which is Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. When you said seek his face, what I want the church to understand is the root meaning of that is to seek his heart.
Okay.
Because David was a man who was after Yah's heart. Now, when we understand and we dealt with the heart throughout this lesson, that the heart is the mind. David was after Yah's mind. He was seeking the to carry out the will of Yah always. And so when you say, you know, we need to seek Yah's face, what you're really telling us is to be men and women who are after Yah's heart, his mind. I am a man who is after Yah's mind. I want his mind. I don't want his hand. I don't want his his glory. I don't want his other attributes. That's not what's most important to me.
Right.
The most important thing to me is I want his mind. I am a man, thus we all should be men and women who seek in Yah's face, his heart, his mind. David was a man after Yah's heart. So when people look at that, they want to focus on the heart that's in the chest. No. That heart is the thoughts of God. David was always focusing on, concentrating on what Yah thought and how he would handle every circumstance when it came down to his rulership.
Amen. Amen. That makes sense. And that's, I mean, even in that context, right? If we are shaping how we live based on what Yah says, then we got to seek Yah for those things that are happening to us. It makes even more sense. Okay, Yah, what do you have to say about this? I can form my own opinion. But again, like the scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of Yah and his righteousness. Okay. And that's the part I'm learning. I'll just share this even in my own personal journey. I'm learning more and more to try to step out of what I think about it, right? I'm learning to, okay, I have my thoughts or opinions, but I'm not even going to concern myself with that. Okay, yeah, I'm seeking you for what do you have to say about it? What do you think about it? Help me understand how you feel about it, and help me make that adjustment from what I think to what you think, right? Because at the end of the day, how I think about it ain't gonna set me apart. How I feel about it also is not gonna set me apart. But me adjusting to how he thinks about it, and me adjusting to how what he sees about it, it is that adjustment that I make towards him and what his desire is that will set me apart from anybody else. It's not because I read the scripture. I can read the scripture every single day. But if I don't read it and then make the adjustments to what he says and how he feels about it, if I don't do that pivotal thing, then I nothing is going to set me apart. I'll even say it from this perspective of understanding. We see the example that Satan himself knows the scripture. When Jesus was tempted and he was brought away into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, Satan came to him with scripture. So it wasn't that Satan didn't understand scripture. You know, a lot of times these people in darkness, they know the Bible better than the people in the light. They study it. They know it. But here's the difference. They are not going to make the adjustment to live by what they are studying and understanding. A lot of them purpose to do the opposite. But for us, in our seeking his face, we have to continually make that adjustment. And it's like what Pastor is saying. We have to be about the business of seeking the will of the Lord and looking to perform what that is. Not just seeking it, but seeking it, adjusting to it, and looking to perform those things that he said and do. And when we do that, and we do that consistently, and we do that with all of our heart, that is what will set us apart in a way like nothing else, like nobody's business. If we thought that the Lord has been operating in our lives, and he has been, I'm not saying he's not, I'm not, but imagine what that looks like when we serve him with all our heart, and we spend all diligence looking to see what his thoughts are, what his will is about things, and then we line up and we make the adjustment to that. Then there's a path that's outlined before us when that happens, and like what we dealt with before, that path gets brighter and brighter. It shines brighter and brighter. So let's go back over to let's see, where was give me 1 second. I think I was at. Okay. Start at 12. Okay. Verse 14, again, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. So we understand that seeking his face means seeking Yah's for his will, seeking Yah for his purpose and his plan, not what he can do for us. And turn from their wicked ways, right? So what does that mean, wicked? When we look up wicked, wicked means, let's see, what word do I want to use? Mischief, wrong, sorrow. Affliction, trouble. Wicked also means twisted, right? So when we turn from our twisted ways, and twisted meaning those ways that are not Yah's ways, like whatever those ways are that are not his ways, those ways are wicked. So in order to do those things, one, we have to humble ourselves like we talked about. We have to pray. Pray is that continual conversation with Yah, spending time in being conversant with Yah, doing that continually, and seek his face. So in that prayer, in that continual conversation with Yah, we're not always seeking what he can do for us. We're seeking what his will is. We're seeking what his purpose is. We're seeking what his plan is. Then, and turn from our wicked ways. So like what we've been dealing with in all of these lessons up until this point, start plucking up those corrupt seeds, plucking up those corrupt doctrines, anything that we let come in that is a knowledge that exalts itself against the knowledge of Yah, right? Whatever those things are. And I talked about them some briefly, you know, stuff like, oh, well, I'm getting to the bag, or whatever those popular things that you see people doing or people saying. And if those sayings ain't lining up to the kingdom, those are the ones that we need to be plucking up. We need to be turning from those wicked ways. We don't need to let those doctrines in. We need to let those doctrines bounce off. It says, after we do that, so we see the process, humble ourselves, pray, seek his will, seek his purpose, his plan, turn from our wicked ways. It says, then will I hear from heaven. I'll keep going. It says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land, right? So there's a process of things that's going on, right? Let's see where I want to stop. Give me just a second. Okay. So I'll come back to this, but I'll keep going. Verse 16 says, Now my eyes shall be open. So the eye is saying, okay, if I find a people, so we've been carried away. Let me see. No, it doesn't talk about that yet. So it's just saying these about his people in general. Now my eyes shall be open, and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and thou shalt observe my statutes and my judgments, right? So these things are critical, right? Because Yah talks about this over and over. In this specific instance, he's talking to Solomon. But what I want us to understand is these things apply to us too. These are things that we as his children need to do as well, right? Now, so verse 18 specifically applies to Solomon. But in the meantime, these things also apply to us. As for thee, if thou walk before me, right? So if we as believers, it's our responsibility to walk before the Lord as David, our father, walked, right? So understanding like what Pastor just dealt with, in that he sought the Lord's heart. He sought the Lord's thoughts about things. He sought the Lord's will about things. If we will do that and do according to all that I have commanded thee, right? So understand this. This also applies to us when I was dealing with this before too. So Yah deals with us. Yah has given instruction in his word. So if we will do according to all that he has commanded us, and observe his statutes. His statutes are his ordinance, or basically the laws and the things and the customs that the Lord has appointed, if we will observe those things, and his judgments. Judgments meaning things that he pronounces. I'll say like even his correction. So a correction is a judgment. It doesn't necessarily have to be a negative. It could be a negative or a positive. But a correction is a judgment, right? So if we'll observe those, like I was saying before in previous lesson, we have to take hold of that. When the Lord corrects us, it's valuable. He's not wasting his time or his effort. If he's saying something to us, it's important. It's critical. So we have to take hold of that. So that is to do those things is to observe his judgments, right? Okay, son, don't do this. Okay, that's observing his judgment. So we take hold of that. So, again, for continuity's sake, if thou walk before me as David thy father walked, according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes, observe means to obey, and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according to I have covenant with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be a ruler in Israel. But if ye turn away and forsake my statutes, don't listen to what I say, and my commandments, don't listen to what I have given you instruction on, which I have set before you, and you shall go and observe other gods and worship them. Right? So understand this heart issue that we've been talking about, protecting our heart and serving Yah with all our heart. When we give credence to these other things that are coming from other places, that are coming from other thought bubbles, other ideologies, when we do that, that's when we go and serve other gods, because those thoughts and those ideas and those concepts, they're not coming from the Most High. So if they're not coming from the Most High, they're coming from some other source. And if we let our life be shaped and we let our life be ruled by these doctrines and ideologies that come from these other places, in a nutshell, in so doing, we are serving some other god. Because whatever that influence is, whatever that thing is over there, it's not coming from the Most High. And if we observe and to do whatever those other things are, then that is a space that we are no longer serving Yah with all our heart. We have turned our heart to something else. We have turned our observation to something else. We have prioritized some ideology that's some other place. Right? And so that's not what we want to do. I'm not saying, oh, well, you can't watch the news. I'm not saying any of those things. Those things just shouldn't be shaping how we view the world or how we view our perception. I'm not saying, oh, you can't watch no cowboy game. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that cowboy game shouldn't inform how you live your life or shouldn't inform how you view your reality. It's just something that's there, right? So if we let those other things take root, then we are in danger of serving other gods and worshiping them. Worship means to bow down, to depress, to prostrate, in homage to royalty, pay homage to reverence them, right? You know, it can be a danger to that, right? If I set my clock, I think I talked about this briefly before. If I don't never miss a cowboy game, but I miss consistently my time with Yah, that seems kind of problematic, because I can prioritize making it to that cowboy game right on time, but I can't prioritize making it to spending that quality time with Yah right on time. Then that puts us in jeopardy. So I just want to use some common things for us to kind of understand some perspective so that we can know, you know, how we need to operate and what it looks like when we are walking before the Lord with all our heart. Again, so let me go back, verse 19, but if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them,
then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land which I have given them. And this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house, which is high, and shall be an astonishment to everyone that passes by it. So shall he say, why hath the Lord done this unto this land, and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which thou brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold of other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought all of this evil upon them, right? So all of this is a context for what's going on. So I want to give the full context of where we were, what got us to where we are, and what we need to do in order to get to where we need to go, right? So understand this. The Lord set his temple up in our land, and he said, my people, I am making this my dwelling place, where I am mindful of you, where I'll hear you, where I will hear your supplication and hear your prayers and forgive your sin. But we, as a stiff-necked people, we did the opposite. We didn't observe his commandments. We didn't observe his statutes. We served other gods. We worshiped other gods. And as a result, his anger plucked us out of the land, like it says, verse 20. Then I will pluck them up by the roots out of my land. God is saying, I'm such a holy God, and I put my name in this place for my people. And in spite of me doing this, my people turned and they served other gods. And so it is that very thing that got us kicked out of the land in the first place. It's what brought all of this evil upon us, right? When we look at why are we treated like this as a people, why all these things? I know we've dealt with this before, but I want us to understand the fullness thereof and what they were doing, and be mindful that we aren't guilty of doing the same thing, right? So we know in the last days he's raising up a remnant of his people. Well, that remnant needs to have the mindset that we're dealing with on tonight, right? We don't want to operate in the vein of what got us kicked out of the land in the first place, right? So what I want us to understand, as we understand the importance of keeping our heart with all diligence, is going to be significant for the days that are ahead. It is this very understanding and this very act and this very practice that will set us apart from everything else that's operating in this world. And the sooner that we understand it, the better off we'll be in the long run, because it's going to prepare us for those things that God has for us. So if we understand, just recapping everything up so I can close, if we understand all of these things, if we understand that we have to guard our heart with all diligence, we can't let these other things entertain, I won't say entertain us, we can't let these other things overrule us. We can't let these other things be the mechanisms by which we view and adjust and live our life, right? Like, we have to understand the significance of continually keeping the word of the Lord before us, taking hold of his instruction, whatever he's saying, like Rev has dealt with us plenty of times in the past. We got to always be willing to let the Lord slide in on our minds, whatever is going on. Because if he slide in on our mind, then it's something that he has to say that's important. And whatever that thing is, in that moment, it's more important than whatever else we're doing. Whatever else we got going on, we got to learn how to prioritize what Yah is saying and doing to us, so much so that all of those other things fall by the wayside. And if we can learn to do that, and do that consistently, it goes back to, I want to go back to the verse that that pastor just gave us. Give me one second.
I have a few things to say.
Okay.
When you had mentioned, Well, you had mentioned about people taking on, you know, operating in wickedness, like the mindset of other gods. I use it, these things as an example. People often ask me, you know, as far as the football game is concerned, who you want to win? And I'd be like, I could care less. Because that doesn't affect my goal of going after Yah's heart. So, yeah, I'll watch the football game, but whoever wins or loses, it's like water on a duck's back to me.
Right.
Then you'll get people who will be moved by the things that Trump is doing right now. And my mindset is, why does the things that he announced that he's doing, or what someone announces that he's doing, why does that affect your mind when your mind should be focused on what Yah has said, and thus what Yah has said trumps everything that he's doing. And so when you look at those, you know, different things, people are affected by other gods.
Right.
And they don't realize that, you know, if you hear, well, what you been Trump talking about taking Medicaid, and he talking about taking food stamps, and everybody is wary. And God made it clear in his word that you know, that I provide things.
Right. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread.
Now I'll give you an example. I sent out a text today to church members and was saying certain things I would do if certain things wouldn't be done. And all of you know what that is, and I'm not going to just throw it into this message. You just know. But I had made a statement. I said, well, if I, in a nutshell, go down that path, then I'll retire from pastoring. Now, if a person is not understanding my mindset, then the first thing they would say is, he's caught up in the emotions right now, and it's, you know, pressure and different things like that. No. I'm speaking from the heart of Yah. It's just that a lot of people don't know how Yah communicates. And so when I made those statements and sent it out in text messages, I was speaking from the heart of Yah, not me. Now, I give you a scripture to back up what I'm saying. Yah says in his heart, he said, look, don't cast pearls before swine. Because if you do, they'll turn around and ruin you. Well, a lot of people will think that that's talking just only to someone who is operating in wickedness. But the deeper meaning of that is that, look, if you value what you hear, that's pearls.
Right.
And if those pearls are coming before you every week and you don't show value by keeping those pearls in place, then Yah has given the liberty to say, don't cast them in. Retire. If you feed him, you're casting pearl, and there's no response that's in harmony with the response of what's being fed, then there's no other chance. Moses, I'll bless you all by yourself. And so when I said those things, it wasn't an emotional thing whatsoever. It was me saying, okay, what do you value? And if you value it enough, you ought to do something about it. And the mere fact that you're not doing anything about it and just saying, well, I did my best, but the best is not getting things done, then Yah said, stop casting pearls before them swine. So that's why I said what I said.
Amen. Anything else? All right. So, amen. So let me go back and so I came over here to the scripture, but let me go back briefly and try to sum it back up and come back and then we can finish this thing off. I'll just go back here. So, again, just summing all these things up, we got to understand, I think, okay, where we were at. So, when I was talking about serving other gods, that's what Pastor brought up, right? So, it's those things that we got to be mindful of. We can't operate in those veins. We have to continue to hearken to what God is saying to us and operate according to that. And when we do, we talked about the seeking of face and all those things, and that's why I wanted to jump back over here to Acts chapter 13, because it talks about verse 22. It says, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart. The key part to that is, which shall fulfill all of my will. See, the key part of that being a man after his own heart, it's not just something that's occurring or not just something that's happening just to be happening. Oh, well, it's a man after my own heart. He just want to know what I think about it. He just want to know how I feel. No, he wants to know how to think about it and how I feel, but to a purpose, and that is to fulfill all of Yah's will. And so that's the understanding that I want us all to understand, right, that all of these things matter to this end goal right here, which is fulfilling all of Yah's will. Like all that we talked about, all the things, all of the guarding the heart, all of the not listening to the other gods, all of the not letting those other things rule us, all the focusing on the word, all the keeping Yah ever present before us, all of us making the adjustments to what Yah is saying, to walk before him with all our heart. All of that ultimately is about, at the end of the day, us fulfilling all of Yah's will. And that's where we have to focus our mind. That's where we have to prioritize. It's like what Christ said when he said, if it be possible, Lord, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done, right? So all of these things that we talked about is ultimately to get us to the point to where we make the adjustments in how we live our lives. We make the adjustment in how we see things. We make the adjustment in how we operate so that we position ourselves to hear from Yah, to make the adjustments to Yah, so that at the end of the day, we can fulfill his will. Amen. I'm going to stop it right there. Do we have any other questions, comments, or concerns, anything? If not, then I'm gonna call this a service. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Yah, for the reading and the understanding of your word. We thank you for the many understandings and the revelation that you give us, and we just ask Yah that you help us to make those adjustments. Help us to walk before thee with all our hearts. Help us to hear your understanding. Help us to hear your words. Help us to hear your instructions, your statutes, and your judgments. And help us to make that adjustment, Yah. Help us to humble ourselves and pray and seek your face, seek your will and your purpose and your plan, and turn from our wicked ways so that we, as your people, can position ourselves to be heard by you and for you to heal our land so we can go back home. And we just acknowledge you right now, Father, in the name of Yeshua, we do pray. Amen.
All right, y'all remember, worship Yah in spirit and in truth. You are dismissed.